Now, we could be on the verge of another dot-com bust. We're in a boom right now, I guess, but it could all come falling apart. Does the slide in Facebook shares actually show that the market was overhyped and it's time once again for a bit of a reality check? Well, just this week, Peter Thiel, he was one of Facebook's earliest investors. He's a member of the board at Facebook as well. He just sold a heap of stock. In fact, he sold almost everything he's got in the company. This is not exactly a show of faith, is it? There was a lockup on the sale of stock, so he couldn't do it straight away for insiders who invested. But that expired last week, and he flogged $400 million worth of shares, all of his stake in the company, just about. Now, Facebook, of course, is worth less than half what it was when it listed not so long ago. I've got Stilgherrian on the line to talk about this. Stilgherrian, of course, is a journalist for Crikey and ZDNet. I mean, Stilgherrian, let's look at Facebook first of all. I mean, I suspect a lack of business model, as we've been saying all along, has a large part to do with this, doesn't it?
Well, yes, Phil. The problem with all of the social media and social networking companies is that they're all essentially advertising companies.
Yeah.
You know, that you are pouring in all of your personal information, which allows them to find out more about you so that they can target the advertising very effectively, i.e. if they figure out you're interested in expensive cars, they can show you ads for expensive cars and charge expensive ad rates for that. And the other part of the equation is getting you to spend more and more of your time on the site so they have more opportunity to show you the ads and charge money. So that's really the very simple arithmetic that this is all about. And Facebook was surging ahead of probably its biggest online advertising competitor, which is Google, simply because the amount of time people were spending per month on Google's websites had plateaued at around 220 minutes per month, whereas Facebook's kept on climbing, and it reached over 300 minutes, 350 minutes, and so on. Now, since Facebook has floated, that's about the only thing that's floated. Well, shares didn't float, they sank. I mean, $38 they charge for them on opening day for Facebook shares, $20 is what they are today, so pretty much half the opening price.
But it's not, and you can't really compare Google and Facebook though, can you? Because I mean, they are, even though I know, as you're saying, they're fighting for the advertising dollar, and the amount of time.
I mean, they're doing very different things to attract your attention and get that dollar, sure.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Because Google is by and large providing useful things that you will continue to use, and Facebook's just a big kind of toy box full of gimmicks.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, Google has the advantage, doesn't it, that it's normally presenting information that you're looking for. So it's saying, hey, you're looking for this. What about this? And you're in search mode, whereas...
That's right. You know,
Facebook, I'm talking about...
This is exactly the point.
I'm talking to my friends. I don't want to be interrupted.
Facebook, well, that's right. If you are going to Facebook, then you're there because you want to find out about what your friends are doing, or you want to RSVP for the barbecue, or you want to play the game, or whatever it is, you had something else in mind. And that's really the magic of Google, and I don't want to kind of make a big song and dance about that, but that makes the big difference. That is Google's huge competitive advantage, and they can charge significant multiples more per ad than Facebook can. And the other part of the equation is that if someone is investing money in the share market in a technology company, they're after big rises, quick rises. They want to see a profit. You know, they want to see the money coming back. The entire share market works on quick returns, on day traders looking to make, you know, a dollar here by buying today and selling next week.
Sadly.
So Facebook has to continually create this impression that it's going to grow and keep growing forever at the same kind of rates it has been. And there are kind of some natural limits it's starting to hit. For a start, they've already got 1 billion active users.
Yeah, once
now,
you've got the entire...
7 billion people
exactly.
on the planet.
So there's the ceiling.
2 billion of them don't have a telephone.
Yeah, so there's the ceiling, isn't there? When everyone on the planet, whether they've got a phone or not, still, Gary, and they can still, you know, let that stop them. But when everyone on the planet has
but
a Facebook
account... If someone's living in a refugee camp in Rwanda yeah. and has an income of $10 a month, they're not exactly... a prime advertising target for BMW or Sony.
No, but got a lot of time on their hands, so they can do lots of posts.
they are, which is why they're all performing internet scams and stealing our money.
Exactly, they are.
Oh, I didn't mean to verbal all the refugees in Rwanda.
Of course not.
No.
But does this mean that, is there a danger that investors are going to look at Facebook and say, this is symptomatic of the internet industry now, the online industry. They're not going to deliver the returns for us anymore, and so they, so they're going to bail out. So it's going to be harder to find investors. Are we on the verge, as I said at the beginning, that we're sort of having another dot-com bust?
I'm going to say it. I'm going to call it. Sure, this bubble has got to burst at some time, and I reckon it'll happen this year.
Yeah.
Peter Thiel, who, as you said, was one of the early investors in Facebook with $500,000. He's not exactly a newcomer at this. He started another little company you may have heard of called PayPal.
Right. Yeah.
You know, his stock in trade, what he does for a living, is advise people on investing in new high-tech companies. And there's, look, there are dozens, and it'd be pointless for me to list them all, but this is what he does. So if this man thinks now is the time that he will extract his $400 million profit, thank you very much. Notice he didn't take half of it out and leave half in just in case. Mm. He's pulled out almost all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that is a sign, and that and surely, surely from that point, I mean, Facebook stocks have got to go down even further. But I mean, is the issue here? I mean, you talk about it all being related to the advertising dollar. Is the issue that the internet faces generally is that it's running out of ideas? I mean, there's lots of things that could be done, but how many times do you talk to somebody who's created a new idea? And advertising is always at the bottom of it somehow. It seems to be the prevalent model.
It is. This has become, the problem with all of the, any boom, when you talk, I mean, if you heard of the Dutch tulip investment implosion in 18 or 17, whatever, or 16, something, I don't know, a couple of hundred years ago, growing Dutch tulips was the most, and having them as the flowers was the most fashionable thing in Europe. And so the prices of tulips went up and everyone invested in tulip farms. Well, of course, the fad passed and people lost money. And the standard model of the internet startup is, and they speak about this almost in religious terms. It's, we'll do the share float and we'll make money and it'll all be advertising, it'll all be cool. Whatever happened to that old idea of people paying for the service they got? Because this comes back to this terrible cliche, but it's the truth. If you're not paying money for a service like Facebook, you are in fact the product. The advertisers are the company, are the customer. And Twitter is the same sort of thing. That we spoke about this a little last week or the week before. The simple thing is that there were two big factions within Twitter. One was a faction that went, hey, let's just be a messaging service and maybe we can even charge money for that. And they lost out to yet more people who said, no, advertising the way to go. And now Twitter is struggling and they have a new competitor on the block, AppNet, AWP.net, who have just set up, look, we're going to do a social messaging service, but do you know what? You will be our customers. We will not run any advertising. You'll be the customers. We'll do it for you. And the reason you know we're going to do it for you is we'll charge you $50 a year.
Right.
Which is like a dollar a week.
And they could probably add a few extra characters there as well, 150 characters rather than 140, just for a point of difference.
I'll turn a whole hog to 1,000, Phil.
Wow! No, just don't be ridiculous still, Gary. You're going too far as usual.
I know. Maybe I'm one of these corrupted nerds that the Senate has just been talking about. And I'm throwing this right at you because you would not have heard this because it's been happening in the Senate in Canberra tonight. As you've been speaking.
Corrupted nerds, tell me very quickly and then we'll move on.
Corrupted. This opens a whole new topic, so we can go with it or not. But tonight, the Senate is doing the final debate on something called the Cybercrime Legislation Amendment Bill, which changes all sorts of laws to bring us into line with a Council of Europe Convention on Fighting Cybercrime. Now, it's the last chance to amend this law before it becomes law. And someone who was speaking in favour of all of these new powers for the law enforcement agencies said that the reason why is that there are corrupted nerds threatening the internet.
Right. Okay. Well, it's good to know.
Scott Ludlow of the Greens has taken much mirth in this, although I get the feeling he's probably going to more like need a drink after this. He sounds like he's getting quietly cranky with the... Look, I was about to say stupidity. Nothing stupid ever happened.
Well, listen, we won't include you as in the corrupted nerd fraternity, but we will touch that subject for another day.
I'm not really about destroying the internet. Hey, to destroy everything else, maybe.
Good talk, Stilgarian. Catch you again same time next week.
Cheers, Phil.
That's Stilgarian. He writes for Crikey and for ZDNet, and yes, he reckons another dot-com boom, or bust, I should say, another dot-com bust before the end of the year.